Lesson 3. Focus. How are rivers around the world alike and how are they different? Main idea. Read to compare and contrast the ways that people in different places use rivers. Vocabulary. Irrigation. Paddy. Rainforest. Rivers around the world. Just as many people in the United States do, people in other countries often choose to live along rivers. They farm the fertile floodplains, or they live and work in cities along the rivers. They also use rivers to transport their goods. Yet, all rivers in the world are different, and people around the world use rivers in their own ways. The Nile River. The Nile is the longest river in the world. Its 4,187-mile, 6,738-kilometer journey begins in the mountains of East Central Africa, near the equator. From there, it flows north through several countries. At the end of its journey, in the country of Egypt, the Nile empties into the Mediterranean Sea. Like the Mississippi River, the Nile has formed a large delta at its mouth. The Nile is the most important source of fresh water in all of Egypt. Along the river's banks lies the fertile and green Nile Valley. Away from the river, however, the land is mostly desert. In fact, this land is part of the Sahara, the world's largest desert. Most of Egypt's people are crowded into the Nile Valley and the Nile Delta. Because both areas have fertile land, many people earn their living by farming. This is the best place on earth, says Ahmed, an Egyptian fellah, or farmer. Soil, water, sun, we can grow anything. However, Egyptian farmers must water their fields by irrigation. Irrigation is the use of canals, ditches, or pipes to move water to dry areas. In Egypt, most farms are watered by irrigation ditches. Farmers raise such crops as cotton, rice, and sugarcane. Even in Cairo, Egypt's capital, many people earn their living from industries related to farming. For thousands of years, Egyptian farmers depended on floods. The floods watered the fields and left behind silt, which made the soil fertile. Each summer after the Nile flooded, farmers planted their seeds. They threw them down on the ground and let cattle walk on the seeds to push them into the soil. The farmers also trapped water from the floods by digging basins in the ground. That water was used to irrigate fields during the growing season. Today, the Aswan High Dam stops the Nile from flooding. However, the water stored behind the dam has allowed farmers to irrigate millions of acres of new farmland. Farmers in Egypt can now plant year-round, too. Review. Why is the Nile River important to Egypt? The Rhine River. The Rhine River is in Europe. It forms part of the borders of several countries before flowing through Germany and the Netherlands. In the Netherlands, the Rhine empties into the North Sea at the city of Rotterdam, one of the world's busiest ports. The North Sea is part of the Atlantic Ocean. The Rhine River is like many navigable rivers in the United States. It connects inland cities to an ocean port. However, the cities on the Rhine are in several different countries. Industries in those countries use the Rhine River to transport both raw materials and finished products. Each day, long lines of barges travel the river. They carry goods to and from busy river ports and trading centers. All of this makes the Rhine River the most important inland waterway in Europe. People traveling up and down the Rhine River see some of Europe's most beautiful sights. Along many parts of their trip, they pass by old castles that were built on hills high above the river hundreds of years ago. They also pass by many large factories and busy cities. Some of the largest and most important cities in Europe are along the Rhine and its tributaries. Review. Why is the Rhine River Europe's most important inland waterway? The Ganges River. The Ganges River is in southern Asia. For much of its course, the Ganges flows across the country of India. Millions of people in India live along the river. Like the soil along the Nile, the soil along the Ganges is fertile. Along the Ganges, however, there is usually more rain. Still, farmers use a lot of water from the river to irrigate their fields. The Ganges is like other rivers in many ways, but it is also very different. For Hindus, people who follow the religion of Hinduism, the Ganges is a holy river. Each year, thousands of Hindus go to the Ganges to bathe in its waters. They believe the water will purify and heal them. Others go there to die. To help the worshippers reach the water, Hindu temples along the river have ghats, or stairs, leading down to the water's edge. The Ganges is more than a river, says one man. It is a force that holds 5,000 years of history, culture, and tradition. Review. What makes the Ganges different from many other rivers? The Changjiang. The Changjiang is China's longest river and the third longest river in the world. The name Changjiang means long river. The Changjiang starts high in the mountains of southern China. It flows for more than 3,400 miles, 5,471 kilometers, through the center of the country. Then it empties into the East China Sea, part of the Pacific Ocean. Near the river's mouth lies the large port city of Shanghai. It is China's largest city. About one-fifth of the world's people live in China. This is more than in any other country. About half of China's people live along the Changjiang. In fact, more people live near this river than in all the United States. Many cities and factories lie along the Changjiang. Along much of its course, the Changjiang is deep enough for large ships to use. It connects China's interior to the sea. Farmers use the fertile land on the Changjiang's floodplain to grow crops. Miles and miles of rice fields, or paddies, stretch out from the banks of the river. Cotton, wheat, and other crops also grow along the river. Review. How do people use the land along the Changjiang? The Amazon River. The Amazon River in South America is huge. At some places, the river is so wide that a person on one bank cannot see the other side. The Nile River is longer, but the Amazon carries 17 times more water. In fact, the Amazon carries more water than any other river in the world. It carries more than the Nile, the Rhine, and the Mississippi rivers put together. The Amazon begins in the country of Peru. It then flows east across Brazil, South America's largest country. Hundreds of tributaries feed the river before it empties into the Atlantic Ocean. Ships that sail the oceans can go up the Amazon from the Atlantic for about 2,300 miles, 3,701 kilometers. That is nearly as far as from New York City to Los Angeles, California. Much of the land in the Amazon River Basin is low and wet. Many areas receive more than 100 inches, 254 centimeters of rain a year. Because most of the land lies near the equator, it also is hot all year. The hot, humid climate along the Amazon River has produced the world's largest rainforest. A rainforest is a warm, wet area where tall trees, vines, and other plants grow close together. Some trees in the rainforest grow as tall as 200 feet, 61 meters, about the height of a 15-story building. One tour guide explains, "You can walk for 6 months and still be in the rainforest." Few people live along the Amazon River. For many people, the climate is just too hot and humid. Still, there are some small cities and ports along the river. From these places, raw materials, such as rubber, wood, and gold, can be transported downstream. Review. Why do few people live along the Amazon River? Geography. The Amazon Rainforest. The Amazon River flows through the largest rainforest in the world. The Amazon rainforest covers about one-third of South America. Most of it lies in the country of Brazil. The Amazon rainforest has more kinds of trees than any other place on Earth. It also has many kinds of animals. Lesson 3 review. Check understanding. 1. Remember the facts. What is the world's longest river? 2. Recall the main idea. How do people in different countries use rivers? Think critically. 3. Think more about it. Why is irrigation important in desert countries like Egypt? Show what you know. Writing activity. Suppose you are traveling on a river described in this lesson. Make a postcard that shows a scene along the river. On the back, describe the scene. Chart and graph skills. Use a table to group information. 1. Why learn this skill? In how many different ways can you describe yourself? Your descriptions might include your height, your weight, or your age. You could also describe yourself by making comparisons with some other people you know. You could see how many are taller or shorter than you are. When you make comparisons, a table is a good way to show the information. A table lets you compare numbers, facts, and other information quickly. You must decide how you want to classify or group the information in your table. You must present the information according to some pattern. 2. Understand the process. The tables on this page give information about some major rivers. Both tables give the same information, but they classify it in different ways. 1. Which river listed in Table A is the longest? How long is it? Which river is the shortest? As you can see, Table A lists the rivers in order, from longest to shortest. 2. Table B gives the same information as Table A, but the information has been classified differently. How are the rivers listed in Table B? 3. Which table makes it easier to find information about a certain river? Which table makes it easier to compare rivers by length? Explain your answers. 3. Think and apply. Make a table in which the same information about rivers is grouped by continents. List the continents in alphabetical order. Then explain how this table would be useful in comparing information. Share your table with members of your family. Lesson 4. Learn geography through literature. Amazon Boy, written and illustrated by Ted Lewin. People depend on the Amazon River and its rainforest for food and for such raw materials as wood, rubber, and minerals. Rainforest plants and trees give off huge amounts of oxygen into the air that people breathe. Many changes, however, have come to the region. Lakes have been made, highways have been built, mineral resources are being mined. Large parts of the rainforest have now been cleared for ranching and farming. Much of that land has been cleared by burning the trees. The soil in the rainforest is poor. The heavy rains carry away the materials that would make the soil rich. People can farm the land for only a few years before it is no longer good for raising crops. Then they clear more land. Many people fear that clearing too much land will destroy the rainforest. As you read this story about Paulo, a boy who lives close to the Amazon River, think about how people depend on the rainforest and how they are changing it. Paolo was so excited he couldn't fish. Tomorrow was his birthday, and he and his father were going to Belém, the great city near the mouth of the Amazon River. Paolo and his family lived deep in the Amazon jungle, where they fished and planted manioc. In all his young life, Paolo had never been downriver. Long before he saw the old steamer chugging around the bend, Paolo heard its whistle blow. He ran to the riverbank and waited. "We will go to the old part of the city, the harbor and the market," said Paolo's father as the boat swung into mid-river. "I want you to see the gifts our great river gives us." They passed small settlements at the edge of the rainforest and many boats along the way. Early the next morning, Paolo's father gently shook him awake. "Paolo, come and see." There it was, the harbor guarded by its old stone fort and a huge cast-iron building with four pointed turrets. The tide was out, and the fishing boats with their colorful sails were lying in the mud, bellies exposed. They left the steamer and joined the early morning crowds. Paolo had never seen so many people. The fishermen were selling fish on the dock or cooking breakfast in pots on the slanting decks of their boats. There were redfish, goldenfish, and silverfish, fish that looked like toads, fish that looked like snakes. So many different kinds of fish. "Some come from the ocean out there," said Paolo's father, "and some come from the Amazon." There were men carrying boxes full of fish on their heads. A short, thick-necked man pushed through the crowd carrying a huge fish. "That's a filhote," said Paolo's father. "They used to be twice that size, but all the really big ones have been caught. No one ever thought of the future. Now they are smaller. Someday there will be none." The man took the filhote into the old turreted building where the fish were cleaned and sold. Shafts of light cut through the dark vastness of the building. Marble counters overflowed with fish. Paolo recognized some, especially the piranhas. They would bite your toes off if you waded into the river where the water was still. He knew the tucunaré, too, with its eye spot on the tail. Outside, they wandered through the covered stalls of the market. Paolo stared at the strange assortment of folk medicine. There were dried lizards, snake tails, porpoise jaws, and sloth claws, and vials of pure white turtle fat. There were cures for backache, stomachache, headache, and fever. There was a man selling crabs as blue as the sky. There were ache in baskets with palm leaf lids, gleaming pottery, and big bottles of yellow tukupi. The air was pungent with the smells of cooking. The tide began to turn as black vultures soared in to feast on the discarded remains of fish on the mud flats. Paolo's father grew solemn. "I hope the river and forest will continue to give their gifts for all your birthdays, but there is so much ignorance in the world. The forest is burned for farming and ranching. In a few years, the land is no good for anything. The earth is torn open for gold, destroying the streams and killing the fish. Our poor Amazon." Paolo saw how wet his father's eyes had become. That night, as the steamer muscled its way upriver, Paolo dreamed of dried lizards crawling over a blackened forest. Early the next morning, Paolo went fishing. Before long, he realized his canoe was being pulled upstream. His fishing line was as taut as a bowstring. Hand over hand, he pulled in the line until he saw in the water a filhote bigger than his canoe. "We will be rich," cried Paolo. "My father and I will take you to Belém and sell you at the market. It will take three big men to carry you on their heads." He looked down at the great whiskered face in the water and suddenly remembered his father's solemn words. He reached down and gently removed the hook. The fish slid back into the gloom. "Goodbye and good luck, great fish," said Paolo. Literature Review. 1. How do people depend on the rainforest, and how are they changing it? 2. Do you think Paolo made the right decision when he let the fish go? Why or why not? 3. Write a story about how people where you live are changing the environment. Chapter 9 Review. Connect Main Ideas. Use this organizer to show that you understand how the chapter's main ideas are connected. Complete it by writing details about the main ideas and about each river. A copy of the organizer appears on page 71 of the activity book. Write more about it. Write a diary. Imagine that you are a pioneer traveling down the Ohio River on a flatboat. Write a diary entry that tells about one day of your trip. Tell what it is like to travel on a flatboat. Write a newspaper article. Suppose that you are a newspaper reporter visiting Henry Ford's new automobile factory. Write a short article that describes how workers there put the cars together. Use vocabulary. Write a term from this list to complete each of the sentences that follow. Assembly line, barge, capital resources, irrigation, mass production, migration. 1. Blank are the money, buildings, machines, and tools needed to run a business. 2. In blank, many goods that are alike can be made quickly and cheaply. 3. An blank is a line of workers along which a product moves as it is put together one step at a time. 4. A blank is the movement of many people who leave one country or region to settle in another. 5. A blank is a large flat-bottomed boat used on rivers or other inland waterways. 6. Many Egyptian farmers must water their fields by blank, or by using canals, ditches, or pipes to move water to dry areas. Check understanding. 7. How were the Great Lakes formed? 8. How can ships sailing from ports along the Great Lakes reach the Atlantic Ocean? 9. What are the factors of production? 10. How did steamboats affect the growth of cities and industries along rivers? 11. How is the Rhine River like many navigable rivers in the United States? Think critically. 12. Link to you. Many cities in the Middle West grew because they were near major waterways. What things have helped your community grow? 13. Think more about it. How might the United States be different today if Henry Ford had not started to use assembly lines for building cars? 14. Personally speaking, imagine that you are Paolo, the boy who lives close to the Amazon River. Would you let the great fish go free? Explain your answer. Apply skills. Use a table to group information. Look in almanacs and encyclopedias to find information about the Great Lakes. Find the total area of each lake, its length and width, and its depth. Then use this information to make a table. Compare your table with those of classmates. Is the information classified in the same way? or is it classified differently? Read more about it. America's Top 10 Rivers by Jenny Tesar, Black Birch Press Incorporated. This book profiles the 10 longest rivers in North America, including the Mississippi, Missouri, and Ohio rivers. Visit the internet at http://www.hbschool.com for additional resources. Making social studies relevant. The nation's breadbasket to the rescue. Farmers in the United States produce more food than any other farmers in the world. In the Middle West, farmers grow huge amounts of corn, wheat, and other crops. On the Great Plains alone, so much wheat is grown that this area is sometimes called the nation's breadbasket. The Great Plains could also be called the world's breadbasket. Time and time again, the United States has been asked to help suffering people around the world. The help our country sends to other countries almost always includes food. The United States produces enough food to feed its people and share with people of other countries when natural disasters, such as floods or droughts, happen. Think and apply. From news reports, find out where the United States is sending food and why. Then, think about what you can do to help people in your city or state who do not get enough to eat. Make a list of ideas and share it with your classmates. Visit the internet at http://www.hbschool.com for additional resources. Check your media center or classroom video library for the Making Social Studies Relevant videotape of this feature. Unit 4 Review, Visual Summary. Summarize the main ideas. Study the pictures and captions to help you review what you read about in Unit 4. Tell a day-in-the-life story. Pick one scene shown in the visual summary. Then imagine a person who might be part of that scene. Make up a story you might tell about a day in the life of that person. 1. The varying amounts of precipitation the interior plains receive affect the kind of crops grown there. 2. In the past and in the present, products from the Middle West region have added to the interdependence among people in the United States. 3. To live on and farm the dry lands of the Great Plains, people changed their ways of life. Ways of farming are still changing today. 4. Many large cities and industries have grown up along the Great Lakes. That area is a center of industry today. 5. The Mississippi River system is used as a transportation and trade route. Large cities grew up along these rivers. Unit 4 Review. Use vocabulary. Use each term in a sentence that helps explain its meaning. 1. Self-sufficient. 2. Urbanization. 3. Free enterprise. 4. Mass production. 5. Shaman. 6. Irrigation. Check understanding. 7. How do different amounts of precipitation on the Central Plains and the Great Plains affect farming? 8. How are most farms today different from most farms in the past? 9. How is a demand different from a supply? 10. How are most of the world's plains regions used? 11. What caused the steel industry to spread to cities along the Great Lakes? 12. Why do few people live along the Amazon River? Think critically. 13. Think more about it. In the early 1800s, most people in the Middle West lived on farms or in rural areas. Today, most live in urban areas. How has this change affected the region? 14. Personally speaking, if you could choose to visit the Nile River, the Rhine River, the Ganges River, the Changjiang, or the Amazon River, which would you choose? Why? Apply skills. Follow routes on a roadmap. The roadmap below shows some highways in southern Minnesota. Use the map to answer the questions. 15. Which interstate highway would you use to travel from Minneapolis to Alexandria? 16. Which United States highway leads from Mankato to Rochester? 17. Suppose that you wanted to travel from Fergus Falls to Wilmar. Describe the route you would follow. Cooperative Learning Workshop. Remember, share your ideas. Cooperate with others to plan your work. Take responsibility for your work. Help one another. Show your group's work to the class. Discuss what you learned by working together. Activity: Make a diorama. Work in a group to make a diorama about pioneer life on the Great Plains. Show a soddy and the kinds of work that pioneers had to do, such as plowing the thick prairie sod. Also, show one of the dangers that pioneers faced, such as blizzards, tornadoes, or hailstorms. Display your finished diorama in the classroom and point to different parts of it as you talk to your classmates about pioneer life on the Great Plains. Activity: Draw a map. Work in a group to draw an outline map of the Middle West on a large sheet of paper. Maps in your textbook and in encyclopedias and atlases can help you. Use two different colors to show the Great Lakes states and the Plains states. Add dots and labels to your map to show where the region's largest cities are located. Also, label large bodies of water and large landforms, such as the Central Plains and the Great Plains. Draw symbols to show the region's major resources or products. Then, point out places on your map as your group takes the rest of the class on a tour of the Middle West. Unit Project Wrap-Up. Draw a mural. Work in a small group to complete the unit project described on page 263. First, review the notes that you and the other members of your group took as you read the unit. Then, decide what scenes you will show in your mural. Fasten a large sheet of paper to a wall in your classroom. Use pencils to sketch the scenes and use paint, crayons, or markers to color them. Each group member should write facts about a place or an activity shown in the scene. Present the murals and facts to your class.